firm a foundation.
The first time Jesus said it, a riot broke out. Welcome to Through the Bible. What did he say that was so shocking? Well, today in our continuing study in the Gospel of John, we discover it was only two simple words. I am. So what's the big deal? Well, in John chapter 8, we'll hear Jesus say, "Before Abraham was, I am." When he said, "I am," he was quoting the Old Testament reference that God used only of himself. And the implication wasn't lost on the people. They knew that Jesus was proclaiming to be God. And to them, that was crazy talk. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, will walk us through that chapter today. Open your Bible to John chapter 8, if you can, and let's pray. Father, open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your word, and show us through your spirit who Jesus really is, yesterday, today, and forever. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Now here's Through the Bible with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Last time we were considering the incident that's recorded in the first part of the 8th chapter of John, which is the woman taken in adultery. Now, our Lord, at that time, did a very marvelous, wonderful thing. He indicted the old Pharisees and scribes that were there, told them if they were without sin to go ahead and stone her. But apparently they weren't in a position to throw stones. And so the only one who could throw stones was the Lord Jesus. And he forgave her. How? On the basis of the fact that he'd come to this world in order to die on the cross for the sins of the world. Now, we have John following his usual format here, and his method was to give an incident or a miracle, and then after it, to give a discourse on that particular subject or in that particular field. Now, here, the Lord Jesus in verse 12 says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now, he makes the statement here, "I am." And this "I am" occurs again and again. Back in the Old Testament, it was Jehovah, "I am who I am." And very frankly, you're not told too much about God other than he is the self-existing one, that he has all wisdom, and that he has all power. But beyond that, we don't know too much about him. And the Lord Jesus came to this earth not only to redeem man, but to reveal God to man. And we find him in this gospel, "I am." Back in the 6th chapter in verse 35, he said, "I am the bread of life." Here he says, "I am the light of the world." And over in the 10th chapter, verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And then in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And then in chapter 11, verse 25, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And then in the 15th chapter of John's Gospel, "I am the genuine vine." And then he goes on to say, "I am the vine, and ye are the branches." Now, this sheds a great deal of information on who God is. And he takes these tremendous things out there in the world. We find here that he takes the commonplace, like bread and light and water and those things, and he uses the commonplace to speak of the remarkable, the ordinary to speak of the extraordinary, and the physical to speak of the spiritual, and the temporal to speak of the eternal, and the here and now to speak of the here and the hereafter, and the earthly to speak of the heavenly, and the limited to speak of the unlimited, and the finite to speak of the infinite. Now we have here, he is the light of the world. And I suppose that this is probably the highest statement that he's made here when he said, "I am the light of the world." You see, he's exposed the sin of the scribes and Pharisees who brought that woman. They were just as guilty, and they had to flee. And now he's forgiven the woman her sin. You see, he is the light, and he now proceeds to give a discourse on light. You see, Christ turned on the light, and sin and rats and bats and bedbugs cannot stand the light. That's the reason these scribes and Pharisees left. He is the light. This is the highest claim he's made so far in the Gospel of John. Fact of the matter is, one of the definitions of God over in the epistle of 1 John is, God is light. That's the first definition. God is light. He's holy, he's righteous, and he's just. And I suppose light is one of the most complicated things of all. And it's certainly one of the essentials today. Life would be impossible without light. And you see about us today plenty of light, that is physical light. And yet it's complicated. Who really knows what it is? You ask the next scientist you meet, and one of them will tell you it's just a wave. And then you meet another scientist of equal reputation. He tell you it's not a wave at all, but it's actually particles of matter. And the startling thing is that men, acting on both of these definitions, these great principles, they've been able to make remarkable inventions today. Now, some tell us that both are true, yet they tell you both cannot be true. Well, I don't know what light is. Is light the absence of darkness? And is darkness the absence of light? Well, the room is filled with light. What do you mean? Well, you say that you're in the light. Do you weigh any more because you are? And there's no such thing as color without light. And actually, a red rose is not really red because it is absorbed every other part of light except red. And that's the reason we see red. That is in a rose. Now, a child may not understand light, but he knows enough about it to come into a dark room and turn on the switch and play in it. And the Lord Jesus Christ is light. He's spiritual light. Just as the sun is physical light, he's spiritual light. And all the light that this poor world enjoys physically comes from the sun, and all the spiritual light that this poor world gets comes from Jesus Christ. And just as a little child can have enough sense to get into the presence of light, any sinner today, though he be a fool and a wayfaring man, can come into the presence of Jesus Christ. Now, there are those that today deny that Christ is the light of the world. Well, they're walking in a lesser light. And after all, the moon has no light of its own. It's derived light, reflected light, and it comes from the sun. This civilization that you and I live in today owes everything to Christ. The hospitals, the charities, the orphans' home, the consideration of the poor, the rights of labor. You hear all of these mentioned today. And you know why we're having the problem we are? Because we've got too far from the light. The world is just walking in moonlight today, and they're doing a lot of moonlighting, by the way. We are to walk in the light of which the Lord Jesus is. Now, this is a tremendous claim he's making. And he says here, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. There are those that have attempted to say that Christ is the headlights on the car and we're to get in the car. I don't think that's the illustration here. The illustration is this. That's the pillar of fire in the wilderness that led Israel. And we are to follow him in that sense. We're to look to him as the light of the world. Now, notice what the Pharisees said to this. We have here this altercation between the two, and there's a sharp conflict now between the religious rulers and Christ. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. What if they're really saying? You're boasting. That's what you're doing when you say you're light. Now notice, the Lord Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. He gives here a threefold reason why his testimony, the testimony of Christ, is true. First of all, he says here, I know whence I came. In other words, I know where I came from, and I know myself. And by the way, these folk that can tell you what happened on this earth, a million years ago, ask them where they were 100 years ago. They don't know where they came from. Man doesn't know where he came from, you see. The Lord Jesus said, I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. That's the first reason. The second is, he says, ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. That is, they judge according to the flesh. And what he's saying is, he does not judge man according to the flesh. Great many people today talk about when they come up in the presence of God and what he's going to say and what he's going to say to others. My friend, most of this type of talk reveals the flesh. It's what the fleshly man thinks he's going to say. You don't know what he's going to say. And that's what he's saying here. But he says this, you judge according to the flesh, I don't. Your judgment is a fleshly judgment and therefore limited. And that's the reason, friends, even what is known today as science, for instance, evolution, it's nothing in the world but speculation. They have very fragmentary facts to go by, and it's speculation, so that you are put in one of two categories. Either you have to accept speculation or revelation. Which do you take? If you judge according to the flesh, well, you'll naturally follow evolution. You'll want some explanation for the origin of things, and that'll satisfy you. But the Lord Jesus does not judge according to the flesh. It's not speculation. That's the thing that he's trying to say here. Now, the third reason that he gives, that his testimony is true, notice what he says. It's also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. Now he says, I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. And that voice out of heaven on two occasions bore witness to him. And these are the three reasons that are given here, by the way. And these reasons actually are true. Now will you notice, verse 19, then said they unto him, where is thy Father? You see, again, they're reflecting on his birth. Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father, that is, his heavenly Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Now, if you'll always notice that he spoke of the Father as being my Father in a different relationship than he's the Father of you and me today through faith in Jesus Christ. Remember, he said to Mary after his resurrection, I ascend to my Father and your Father. We become children of God through faith in Christ. He calls him Father because of his position in the Trinity. He's God the Son, and the other's God the Father. Hasn't anything in the world to do with generation or regeneration, but it has everything to do with the position in the Trinity. Now, they raise the question, where's thy Father? And he says, why, you don't know me, and you don't know my Father. If you'd known me, you should have known my Father also. And if you're to know God, you'll have to come, of course, through Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to hit high points through this discourse here. And this is verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Now you'll notice how much they were in the dark here, the questions they asked. The first question in verse 19, where is thy Father? Now the question is, will he kill himself? They know nothing about the fact that he's been instructing his own that he's going to Jerusalem to die. At the hands of the Gentiles, he'll be delivered by these same religious rulers, and he'll die a redemptive death for the sins of the world. So the question is, will he kill himself? And the answer, no, he'll give himself a ransom for many. And he says, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of the world. I am not of the world. Now, that is something that they missed altogether. You have that same thing over in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, by the way, where you will find Paul there speaking of that which is earthy and that which is spiritual. The first man, he says, is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as it is heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. So that today, it's quite possible for the natural man to understand anything that the natural man, the earthy man, comes up with. In other words, human knowledge today can be understood by any other man who has a human nature. That is, if his IQ is high enough. But what one man can work out, another can work out also. That is for sure. But divine knowledge must be loved to be understood, and only the Spirit of God can take the things of Christ and show them unto us. That's what he's saying here. Now, verse 24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. This is a great verse, and this answers the question today. What about those that actually have not heard? Well, ye shall die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sin. Now, they don't die, friends, because they haven't heard the gospel. They die because they're sinners. That's the reason, and that's the nature that they have. If you could teach one mud turtle to fly, and maybe he'd like it, and he'd go back down and tell the other mud turtles, you ought to learn to fly. The other mud turtle says, you go chase yourself. We like it down here in the mud. This is where we want to be. Somebody says, well, isn't it terrible about those poor mud turtles that can't fly? They're right where they want to be. You shall die in your sins because that's what you want. The pigs stay in the pig pen. Sons always say, I'll arise and go to my father's house. They have to, because they have the nature of the Father. Now, will you notice? Then said they unto him, who art thou? Notice the questions. Where is thy father? Will he kill himself? Who art thou? Now, they did not know what his mission was, his work was, and they did not know him. And they very frankly asked the question, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. He's made the statement concerning himself, that he is the Messiah, he is the Savior. Now he says, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I've heard of him. Our Lord always said what he was doing and what he said was because that was what the Father wanted him to do. He never appealed to his own mind or his own intellect. He always said he was doing the will of the Father. And that ought to be something good for these young preachers today who like to appear very intelligent. May I say to you, it's the simple gospel that's important to give out today. Always put the cookies on the bottom shelf where the kiddies can get them. And the Lord said, feed my sheep. He never did say, feed my giraffes. Now, will you notice? They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. You see, they miss the whole point. Why? They're of the earth. They're from beneath. They're of the world. That's the reason. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Now, many of the priests, many of these men believed, by the way, after his death and resurrection. We're told in the book of Acts that many of the priests in Jerusalem believed. The thing he's saying to them right here, you won't know this. You see, it's the redemptive death of Christ that explains him, why he came and who he is. There are those that say, well, you don't have to believe in the virgin birth to be saved. My friend, if you're saved, you'll believe in the virgin birth. Let's put it like that. Because you'll not know who he is till you know what he's done. Now, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Now, there were some there that believed. As he spake these words, many believed on him. I think some of these were genuine. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. In other words, faith alone saves, but the faith that saves is not alone. It'll produce something. In other words, you will continue in my word. Now, when I find today, and I found out as a pastor, that the man or woman, I don't care how active he is in a church, if he's not interested in the study of the Word of God and what God says, you watch out for him. He's a dangerous saint, by the way, and you'll do well to watch him, because that's the real test. You continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth shall make you free. And what is it? Well, the truth that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that he's who he said he is, and this is what makes you free. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man." And may I say they lied when they said that. They'd been in bondage in Egypt. They'd been in bondage in Babylon, and they were right then under the iron heel of Rome. My, how they misrepresented even at that time. Our Lord went on to say in verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And this is a very wonderful statement, by the way. I asked a hippie-type fellow up in the San Francisco Bay Area, and by the way, group of them up there listened to our tapes and our program. And this fellow told me, in fact, I asked him why he dressed as he did. He said, well, he wanted to show he's free. And I said to him, suppose you took off your garments that you're wearing and you put back on the regular garments that the average person wears, would you be accepted in your group? He said, no, I wouldn't. Well, I said, then you're not free, are you? You have to conform to your group. I said, if you really want to know what freedom is in this world where Jesus Christ is rejected, you can come to him and accept him, and he'll make you free, deliver you from sin, from the penalty of sin, and actually the power of sin, and someday the presence of sin. Now he says, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you've seen with your father. Now they claim Abraham is our father. We're Abraham's children. But he says, why are you seeking to kill me? And they said, why, something must be wrong with you. We're not seeking to kill you. And they were plotting at the very time. Now he says in verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, this ought to answer the question about the universal fatherhood of God and the universal brotherhood of man. Now, when anyone says today that Jesus taught the universal fatherhood of God, apparently he didn't, because he said of these religious rulers that you are of your father, the devil. And apparently they weren't children of God, and there are quite a few today. I believe that this doctrine of the universal fatherhood of God, universal brotherhood of man, has got us into a lot of trouble, even as a nation today. We sit down at a conference table with probably children of the devil, and we call them children of God. And we've been taken in all over the world today as a nation, and we're supposed to have such wise diplomats. But after all, they're smart politicians, but they just simply are working on the wrong premise. And the Bible does not teach the universal fatherhood of God and the universal brotherhood of man. There are some that are children of the devil, and you only become a son of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I tell you, this really antagonized these, and what I've just said will antagonize a lot of folk, because they don't like that today. They like to think we're all nice, sweet brothers, and we have all this lovey-dovey stuff going on today. My friend, if you're standing for the truth today, you're going to do what the Lord Jesus did here. You'll denounce that which is evil and that which is wrong and that which is error. That's exactly what he's doing. Now, they even accuse him. They say, thou art a Samaritan and hast a demon. Jesus answered, I've not a demon, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor him. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death.
Well, that's a bit of a cliffhanger. I'll meet you back here tomorrow to see how that turned out for Jesus. Isn't the Gospel of John an amazing study? I know I'm learning more about the person and work of Jesus in each study. If you'd like to go deeper in your study of John, pick up Dr. McGee's paperback commentaries. There are two, and for a discounted price while we're studying the book, you can order them in the online store at ttb.org or just give us a call at 1-800-65-BIBLE. The Bible Bus will be right here this time tomorrow to continue our journey through John. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving you a seat.
Jesus made it home, unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.